Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at YouTube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and notify bell next to it. Make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 36 great friendos watching this podcast as a live stream right now, which you guys can participate in every single week. Three times a week, we do these recaps only for Patreons, for patrons on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We also have the $20 reward tier. We got a comic book over there. We got these stickers. I'm not going to reach all the way over there.
What about that wrapper for your McDonald's there? What'd you get? What's it called?
The Egg White Delight. This is good.
Yeah.
I'll put this on my Etsy for $30.
There you go. You got to sign it?
Will you autograph it too?
Well, do I get a cut?
$5.
I at least want 30%.
That'll be a chat trivia prize for next week.
All right. Here. Give that to me.
Couldn't even really sign it. It's like a crap pen too, I think. Yeah, see. Anyways, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We've got a bunch of great designs. We got to get some more up, though, man. We have to commit to that.
Yeah, I know.
We have the bandwidth.
I know.
We just need to do the thing. Also, later on today, we're going to be playing some bad wrestling.
That's the wrong controller.
This is on Xbox, but we play it on PS4. That's at twitch.tv/Steven Larson.
3 p.m.
I am actually excited these days about 205 Live, Larson. What happened?
Sorry, my notes weren't up.
Oh, my goodness.
Usually I'm prepared. Not today.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about, like, the specifics of the episode yet. 205 Live. It's very exciting. They're getting back to, I love what they're doing.
They're giving matches time to breathe.
Yeah.
I wonder, after mixed match challenge is over, if they're going to add the extra 10 minutes to the show, make it a full hour every week, and if so, if they're going to start tossing three matches in there.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, the focus on in-ring action is to the benefit. Still get a little bit of character stuff.
Hold on a second. J.S. Wooten just said that you're taller than me.
That's not true.
That's not true. J.S. Wooten.
I'm maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches shorter.
Yeah. What now? No. Okay, so there was one thing that kind of bummed me out. I'm interested to get your thoughts on it.
What's that?
We'll get to it when we get to it.
Oh, all right.
So, yeah, it's one of those things. Because it's like one of the segments in the show. Or it's one of the things that we're going to talk about. 205 Live. Look, they keep it simple. They focus on the wrestling.
Hold on, let me guess. Are you bummed out that Drake Maverick was given Drew Gulak business about...
Were you too?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want them to lose all the personalities.
I know. I need some personality there.
Yeah.
I mean,
to go back to Camelot, Drew Gulak.
I understand the point that they're kind of just doing a snapback, if you will, to what people sort of came to the Cruiserweight Classic for in the first place, and I'm all for that. But Drew Gulak was the one shining spot.
I know.
In on 205 Live in terms of personality,
even Tony Nese.
And Tony Nese was showing
his
personality.
His thing about counting his abs wasn't overriding what he could do in the ring. I just think they were telling him, "Don't do all you can do in the ring."
Yeah, I know. You do need some personality.
Yeah.
We need to know who these people are and what their deal is. And if they can pull it off of fate, look, they don't have to. Okay, so for example, I liked Daivari as that character. I thought it was fine. It wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's not necessary and there's no reason for you to force the matter.
Yeah.
But with Drew Gulak, that's such a strength of his because some of pro wrestling is personality.
Yes, and from my understanding, based on his pro wrestling T-shop, he did something similar in CZW.
Right.
You know, advocating and politicking for his vision of the promotion.
Right.
So this falls in line with that. He has experience doing it. He does it really well.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't detract from his in-ring work. Then I mean, he's had to go so far as doing the PowerPoint presentation and doing all the slides and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the general idea of his character saying, here, no, this is really how we should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Ground-based wrestling, technical wrestling, keep that.
Yeah.
Because then he's an alternative to all the high flyers or even the strikers or technical wrestlers like Roderick Strong.
Mm-hmm.
He's an alternative to all that.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But it kicked off. I mean... The thing is, like, if they're going to go with these long matches, I mean, the bottom line is that the main our main issue with 205 Live still kind of stands. Although it's funny watching it now and understanding how much, like, you know, we try to stay on the positive side of things. And, mm-hmm. and I appreciate that. I think our audience appreciates mm-hmm. that. But just how over I was, how done I was with the Zotrain stuff makes me really happy. And granted, it was under terrible circumstances yeah. that Enzo got the boot, you know, and that's all still weird. But the idea that now it's gone and those people don't have to just sort of, and that belt isn't just wrapped up in some guy who couldn't wrestle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pretty happy about the fact that, and it's funny, during that little Drew Gulak, Tony Nese bit, Rockstar Spud even said, that train has left the station,
yeah.
which I took as a double meaning,
yeah,
sort of a not so sly way of saying the Zo train is done with.
Yeah.
And I like that. I thought that was actually a clever piece of writing.
And I do like, despite what Drake Maverick said to Gulak and Nese, I do like the idea that, okay, we're going to focus
mm-hmm, yeah.
on putting on the best matches every week. That's great. Mm-hmm, just don't lose all the personality.
Right, exactly. I mean, so when they
you still need to have some storylines motivating the matches. You can't just have people's squared off in matches for random or non-existent reasons.
Right. I mean, when they brought Neville in, that sort of was a great kicking off moment mm-hmm. for, like, actually bringing in personality. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a bad guy.
It was him and then Austin Aries.
Exactly.
He walked out from behind the commentary desk and started to wrestle. Yeah. Yeah.
Because at a certain point, I mean, I'm all about the competition aspect of it. I think that should be the forefront of it. But, yeah, eventually if you stop sort of – I mean, I'll put it this way. PWG, right? You go in there and – anybody who's even fresh to that experience and to those wrestlers, the perfect example is Ricochet versus Lio Rush when we went to see it live. They told the story. I didn't have to know who either of these guys were. This is the first time I'd ever seen Lio Rush or heard of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet they told a story in their presentation when they came out without saying a word. They told the story, Lio Rush, the young upstart, Ricochet, you know, kind of the dickish, he was playing heel in the
yeah, he
in
was a veteran match. That was, you know,
taking him lightly almost.
Yeah. I mean, all you really need to know going in that match, it was Lio Rush's first match there and Ricochet had been in PWG for a while.
There are ways to tell stories cold just in the ring week to week. So they can do that. That type of thing as well, but people want a reason to continue to tune in terms of serializing it a little bit, and that's where stories and personality.
And I like during this first match, I guess we can get into this now.
Yeah, sure.
Both Kalisto and Lince Dorado made that WrestleMania sign a focus mm-hmm. without having to point at it.
Yeah.
Just in the midst of the match, you know, there's a couple of instances where they were on the verge of doing some moves which they thought or hoped would lead them to victory, and before mm-hmm. they did it, they look at the sign.
Yeah. Like, yeah
that's
yeah.
the goal.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a parallel to the Cruiserweight Classic, where most of those matches, there was no story in advance of the matches. They're all trying to achieve the same goal, which is win the tournament, become the first Cruiserweight champion.
Yeah.
But the drama of the matches was building to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody was striving for the same goal.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing now. Everybody's striving for that match at Mania to get that belt.
Right, exactly. And then once that's done with, they will need to come up with more ideas mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of different ways. If they're clever enough, they can keep it competition-focused, but still include the personalities.
Yeah, and I think at times they kind of go a bit overboard with the use of these iPhone promos, but I like that they're natural. I like that mm-hmm. they seem a bit more spontaneous. People show a bit more of their actual personality rather than having to do scripted stuff.
Yeah.
So if they can find a good balance of using those, plus, like, the TJP promo, which is more traditional,
mm-hmm.
but still effective with these mix of video packages, as long as they get some new footage mm-hmm. for some of these.
Look at the Mark Andrews.
Yeah. It's all their recycling stuff in the United Kingdom tournament. These are all good ways, effective ways to build character, show off personality. Mm-hmm. Just get rid of the text on the screen.
Yeah, dude, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Like, it's infecting. It's like a virus or something, and now it's infecting 205
just
Live.
Keep it for Mixed Match Challenge. Give that its own aesthetic.
Yeah.
Keep it off everything else.
Yeah. Totally. Like you said, we had Kalisto versus Lince Dorado in the first match. This is a good match. They gave it. I mean, God, there's only two matches.
Each got about 20 minutes.
Yeah. So, and you know, the crowd, as few people as there were there, they really got into it. You know, mm-hmm. both matches got eventually, you know, woke the crowd up. That is still, I mean, in my opinion, I know probably yours too, that is still a major issue.
Oh, yeah.
Like how they shoot these things. I think it's funny because I think there's like a million ways they could do it.
They could do it in the venues they're in, I think. They just need to change it aesthetically, it can't be as polished.
Mm-hmm.
And like, people are going to leave. I understand that, but I don't know if they do this. Just let people come forward.
I think they do that.
Okay.
From what I've heard that like twice on Twitter. Right. Now,
there's one shot they had of the arena, and there was a group of empty seats I saw. People in front of it, of course, but also behind it. So yeah. Just let everybody just come forward.
I know. I mean, it should be kind of a, hey, everybody, like, you know, announce it over the loud thing. All right, everybody move down if you want to.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do that or not.
I don't know
if they do. But anyways, this was such a fun match. They had a little Kalisto Instagram promo before.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was just straight up.
He wasn't reading dialogue. He was just being him, and it was effective.
Yeah. Anyway, some of the bits and pieces of this match. We got a Lince Dorado stunner.
Rather than going for the pin,
yeah,
which he had won matches before with that, he went for the Shooting Star Press, mm-hmm. hit it. Kalisto rolls out of the ring, avoid the pinning predicament. Later on, Kalisto hit a Salida del Sol, but too close to the ropes because Lince grabbed him.
Yeah.
But eventually, there's this cool spot where Kalisto did like a springboard reverse Rana thing.
Yeah.
And followed it up with Salida del Sol, picked up the win.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
I was really kind of pulling for Lince Dorado. I want some unexpected names to win, to go through.
Well, I think in the main event of this show, I think it was kind of somewhat unexpected that Roderick Strong went over. Because up to
just
now.
I know. Given what we know about, like, okay, well, Tyler Bate. He lost because he's not part of the actual
and I would
roster.
Mark Andrews to probably take the loss.
I would
next
think
week
so. Yeah,
Curtis exactly. out, but you never know.
But you're right. This was kind of surprising because we figured Roderick Strong would probably be sticking around NXT for a little bit longer. But I don't know. Like, you know, talents like him. That I don't know. Where do you stand on Gargano right now? Are you looking at him for 205 Live still?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I don't know. What they have planned for him.
I mean, he's one of those guys. He's got because of that match with Almas. He's got so much buzz behind him that he could really give a boost to 205
Live.
Oh,
he could. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I don't know where he would fit in exactly right now on the main roster.
Like, could you imagine if it was Gargano, Roderick Strong, and Leo Rush all on 205 Live? Mm-hmm. That'd be must watch.
Along with the talents that are already there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That'd be must watch, I think.
That'd be something else, yeah.
I'd love to see, like, Leo Rush versus, like, Lince Dorado. Mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, next up we had a Roderick Strong video package.
Kind of recycled some of the material they use for his two-part documentary type mm-hmm. deals in NXT, but it's all good stuff, and it really gives you a sense of who he is.
Yeah, they need to not bring back crying Roderick Strong.
Didn't like that at all, did you?
I don't like when people cry. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
Don't cry, please.
The next, Cedric Alexander iPhone promo interrupted
weren't you,
by
weren't
Mustafa
you uncomfortable
Ali.
The time you saw me cry?
I didn't know why it was happening until you told me. No, it didn't make me uncomfortable. I wanted to make sure that you were
really?
All right.
Really? Like the fact that you didn't know why?
That
wouldn't make you uncomfortable? If you just started breaking down and crying, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm very uncomfortable right now. No, not really. I'd be like, yeah, what's wrong? Are you okay?
Yeah,
what's going on? I'd give you a big hug.
My focus would be, what's going on?
Yeah.
And you told me, he's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, man.
No, I joke about that Roderick Strong thing. Actually, I appreciate it. He's talking about his family.
He's being earnest. Honest.
Yeah, who wouldn't cry about over their family? Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali iPhone promo.
I like these guys together. They're great.
How did I miss this? I don't remember this at all.
Oh, Cedric was in the hallway or something talking to his phone, and then Mustafa Ali came from behind him and started joking around with him.
Oh, that's a bummer. I'll have to go back and watch
that.
Man,
what was
I even doing? I don't know, man. I got Alabama running around here just getting in my business all the time.
I really hope these two meet in the finals, have the match at Mania.
I don't, man. I want Roderick Strong to come away with that. He could. What did I tell you before? He could be the Dean Malenko.
I understand that problem is
of cruiserweights.
He's great in the ring.
Yeah.
The personality aspect, that concerns me.
Well, I don't care about that, man.
I mean, he's really good in the ring, but even when he celebrates, he's like, and it's not, I don't know, it doesn't seem as genuine as like when Cedric does it. It's believable to me. When Mustafa Ali does it,
it's believable.
They project the personality. He doesn't really project as well as they
do. He does not. There's nothing there. But
I'm not going to take anything away from his in-ring ability. In-ring, he's fantastic.
Well, that's the thing. He's like top four for me right now in-ring. I don't even know who number three is, but it might be him. Right now it's AJ Gargano, and those are even interchangeable, and then maybe even Roderick Strong. I freaking love that dude's wrestling.
Great.
He's great.
Especially he works a really fast-paced match.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. I just feel like I like that Roderick Strong's involved. If he made it to the finals against Cedric or Mustafa, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
But just the way they've been building up Mustafa and Cedric leads me to believe, and I'm hoping, that they will meet in the finals, and Cedric has to win the title, man. He has to win it.
Okay, so I agree with you. I just think that, look, you know, I love...
And the two best stories are him versus Mustafa, or if they want to play up, you know, the lumbar check versus backbreaker,
mm-hmm.
Cedric versus Roderick Strong. Those are, in my mind, the two best stories for that match.
Yeah.
And we've seen a bit of what Cedric and Mustafa can do a couple weeks back on 205 Live. And if you give them a platform like Mania, and Triple H says to him, all right, tear the house down.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to blow the roof off the place.
How about this? What about this? We go in the semifinals. Roderick Strong and Mustafa Ali have like a barn burner, like a crazy great match. Roderick Strong goes over. He meets Cedric Alexander in the finals. Roderick Strong goes over in like the best match of the night. Because you know, if they tell them to put on the best match, they're going to put on the best match.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better... Here's the thing. Cedric Alexander winning it at WrestleMania, I'm not going to say it doesn't give him anything to do because we have no idea what plans they have for the rest of the time. But talk about... Wait a second. I that thing was mine.
Yeah.
That thing was mine.
No, you can do a heel turn for Cedric. Or even just give motivation.
Right, exactly.
It seemed like it was a shoo-in for him to win that title from Enzo, yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be my preference because you kind of get both things. You get like a motivated Cedric, and because like against Enzo, there was I hated that so much because there was no real motivation there. They didn't really explore it. Him against Roderick goes over, and it's like you weren't even here when I was supposed to get that damn title. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that could be pretty cool, and I'd like to see that side of Cedric. I'd like to see a different side of him. I haven't been impressed with what I've seen in terms of his character stuff, like with the exception of flashes here or there. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, kind of a dickish Cedric might be more fun.
It could be.
You know? So I don't know. In any event, I think it'd be really good. I threw this out there.
At the least, Cedric has to be the finals.
I threw this out there when I said Dean Malenko could be the Dean Malenko of the Cruiserweights, which made us both laugh when I said that. And sure enough, Alex C. has to come in here and chat. Dean Malenko was a Cruiserweight. Yeah. That was called a softball for you people.
Yeah. You frame it that way, huh?
No, that's exactly what I'm doing. Yes, it is. Okay. It's a softball, Larson.
All right, sure. Next, we had a TJP promo. It was more traditional, seated, like scrolling through his phone and stuff. Looking at Twitter comments.
The soundproofing behind him.
And he said, you know, last time he was in the when he was in the Cruiserweight Classic, he went to go out there and put on a show for everybody.
Uh-huh.
But he said, this time I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have selfish TJP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reasonably well done, very effective. But, you know, how about this? Semifinals, Final Four. You got Roderick Strong, you got TJP, you got Mustafa Ali, and Cedric Alexander. It's hard to top that.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
But with Mark Andrews being announced for next week, there's still one mystery competitor.
I really hope it's Drake Maverick.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. There was another name that I was thinking of, and I forget who it is now.
Could be Leo Rush.
Oh, I was thinking maybe, boy, that'd be something else. I was thinking Gargano, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, Mark Andrews, man. I'd really like to see him progress too, like move on. I want like some fresh names up there.
How great would it be for Akira Tozawa to advance? Like next week, he comes out in his normal video pack and stuff, and the week after that, he comes out to Vince's.
Oh, I would love
video
that.
In the suit and stuff.
I would love that so much. I like that they're playing up that on social media too, like Rockstar Spud on his Instagram, like pictures of Akira. He's like, I hear this guy's taking my job. But no, and Spud is doing such a great job in the role they brought him in for, like, you know, emphasizing this is a new day, a new age.
Well, just the sense of authority he projects is great.
It's so great. It's so awesome. So there was a period when I was like, okay, now I got to talk about 205 Live, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with this, and I'm liking it so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the path that, and we're going to talk about on tomorrow's Dirt Sheet
the news that apparently 205 Live is under the
watchful eye,
of Triple H.
Yeah,
Vince is hands off now.
All right, fine.
But we'll go into detail in terms of the how and why, and then
I didn't want to do it anyway.
And then Meltzer and the Observer this week said some other stuff about maybe Triple H assuming more control over various aspects of the company.
So excited about all that. Very excited.
Well, assuming there's
he needs to show up at SmackDown and at least produce one of those shows and show them how it's done. Because, oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk about NXT.
No, we completely skipped over the main event plus the...
Oh my God.
We mentioned briefly the backstage segment between Drake Maverick and Drew Gulak and Tony Nese where he was kind of give him the business for focusing more on on gimmick as opposed to being the best in-ring competitors
possible. Yeah, exactly. And then he set up that match for next week.
Yeah.
Drew Gulak versus Tony Nese.
Which will be good, given their history.
Oh, my God. It's going to be off the wall.
Yeah, and maybe we'll actually, I always felt like with Tony Nese, we've seen like a small fraction of what he can do.
I know. I get that, too. I know. I'm looking forward to that match, man. I am. Because I think they're kind of opening up. Hey, guys, just go out there and do what you can do. Mm-hmm. As evidenced by the main event, Hideo Itami versus Roderick Strong. Holy crap. Now, there was an Hideo Itami promo at the beginning. That was pretty good. But, my God, this is a 20-minute match, and it was a barn. But it was this was so good.
They did a really good job building it.
Yeah, they really did.
They really took their time in the beginning. There was some submission work.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like Roderick Strong was going after Hideo Itami's surgically repaired shoulder for a bit. But then towards the end, it was just striking. Backbreaker. Roderick Strong picked up Itami and threw him back first against the apron.
Mm-hmm.
A couple times, Itami was setting Roderick Strong up for his finisher. He'd always reverse it, eventually hit end of heartache, picked up the win.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, no, this is really good. And like you said, kind of surprising. Like, I'm bummed out that I knew who, because I didn't watch it live, but of course, after the fact.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, WWE makes it so hard to avoid spoilers anyways, because I'm following all their accounts, and they always post up, like, especially NXT, like, when they air it live, they always post up, like, Instagram pictures of, like, them backstage. Whoever won gets, like, a picture.
That's why I don't really avoid spoilers when they do the tapings. That's going to be spoiled before I watch it anyway.
Yeah, so. I try my best, even though it's very much impossible these days for me to do that. I mean, we have so many enthusiastic friendos out there just anxious to share information with us. And it's all great.
Spoilers have never really bothered me that much anyways, because still, for me, it's always about process, how we get to that result. Because I could have known Roderick Strong beat Hideo Itami 2 weeks in advance, but what really gets me excited is not so much that Roderick Strong won, but that the match was really good.
Yeah.
And
I mean, no.
Knowing that he won the match isn't going to lessen the impact of the match if it's really good.
Yeah. I don't know. I like to be surprised still.
Oh, sometimes, yeah. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
But I just learned that's part of it. It's part of the job.
Part of the deal, man.
Part of the deal.
Get used to it.
Oh, wow. Strong words. Let's talk about NXT, man.
Yeah.
Oh, this is my favorite. Oh, how could you not love this? We kick things off with, who came out first? Sanity came out first?
No, Undisputed Era came out
They first. Came out first because they got blindsided.
Yeah.
And once again, and I'm so glad this is a normal thing, Kyle O'Reilly, here's the thing, I noticed this time, so at TakeOver, he totally did the strumming.
No, he just did, like, occasional.
I don't know, man. We'll have to go back and watch.
Occasional, but I think maybe you were distracted by his shaking hips.
Those are some great hips.
He walks down. He's
does. And let me ask you something. Nobody seems. We always point this out. Nobody seems happier to be there at this point now than Kyle O'Reilly.
He seems to be having a blast.
He seems to be having a blast to walk out there in front of that center stage crowd.
Yeah.
Now, he seems to be having an absolute blast.
Adam Cole seems to be having a blast too.
He really does.
He is like the master of over the top yet still completely effective facial expressions.
It's the best. When Alexander Wolf kicked out. I think it was Alexander Wolf last shot.
Yeah, yeah.
He was beside himself. He was like, and they're all like at each other, that was three. Anyways, that's later on. Sanity attacked them from behind while they were all in the ring apron. Brawl in the ring. Security broke it up. Did you see Donovan Dijak in there?
No, I didn't notice.
There was one dude who had blonde hair, I swear, and seemed taller.
Well, he doesn't have blonde hair, though, does he?
I thought Donovan Dijak has blonde hair.
Not blonde hair.
Hold on a second. Donovan Dijak.
I thought it was a lighter medium brown.
I swear to God, I thought he was a blonde. I could be completely wrong, then.
Are you thinking of somebody else?
Oh, my God, you're right. Why did I think he had blonde hair? That's so weird.
I have no idea.
Wow. I think when I first saw him, I was like, that guy kind of reminds me of Drago from Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's why.
Drago had blonde hair.
He had very blonde hair, so that's going to be why. So anyways, I mean, maybe, I don't know. Do you remember seeing this guy in security?
I really wasn't paying attention to security.
Oh, I was. I'm obsessed with this Donovan Dijak in security.
Yeah,
so do you recognize this man?
Well, I told you I wasn't really paying attention to security.
Hold on. I want to see if anybody here in chat recognize. Can anybody go back and watch the tape, please? Because I want to know if he was part of it. Because wouldn't then Undisputed Era be like, hey, we know you. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's like a guy who has amnesia or something. Hey, what are you doing?
I don't know. What'd you say?
What's going on? What are you looking at over there?
Oh, no, that popped up.
Looking at our analytics?
No, I was looking at Chad. Then I zoned out. What'd you just say?
I forget what I said, to be honest.
Wow.
Was not important.
All right.
I was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
You got to be in on it, man.
Sorry. I was going through chat here seeing if anybody had any clue whether Donovan Dijak was there or not. You were asked Chad to do something, and I was looking for
These are very important questions that I have.
All right. Anyways, brawl happens. Security breaks it up. Undisputed Era walks up to the top of the ramp. They're met by William Regal.
Mm-hmm.
He says, tonight, six-man tornado tag match, Sandy versus Undisputed Era.
Oh, wow. So Manuel Garcia de Paredes tried to look for him as well. Dami Ray says there was, let's see here. Dami Ray is talking about a guy with dyed purple hair. I'm not talking about that. I want to know if Donovan Dijak was there. Anyways, yeah. Regal, boy, these two teams really take the piss out of Regal, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
He gets so frustrated with them.
So mad.
He's in the wood.
In the wood.
If you will. He comes out and he says, tornado tag match. My God, man. Get a hold of yourselves. It's wrestling, Regal. Jeez.
They're just in the ring fighting.
I know. It's like, what do you want them to be doing?
It was less chaotic than the main event.
Right. I know. Man.
Just get some order. Let the tag match happen as scheduled.
Tornado tag match for our main event.
Let's settle this.
Let's settle this now. It's only going to make things worse.
I know. Anyways, next match, your favorite, Heavy Machinery.
Hold on a second. What? That's actually a good point. He puts them in a War Games match. He books Adam Cole for an Extreme Rules match, and he thinks that's going to make things better.
I know.
You're just escalating the violence.
I know. This is a six-man tornado tag match with no rules.
Right, exactly. You're escalating
Sanity
the violence.
Sanity wins. But to get that match, they lost a chance at the title, so they're still going to want that title match.
I know.
You're prolonging this.
You're just making things worse.
You come out there, you say, Adam Cole, Killian Dane, banned from ringside.
Yeah.
And then you have the match go on as scheduled. You settle it that way.
A regular match.
If Undisputed Era wins, retains the title, Sandy no longer has a claim to those belts.
Right.
They lost the first match, lost the rematch.
Yeah.
There's nothing, there's no story
to
keep
going. You're just making things worse.
You are making things worse.
Are there any competent, like Drake Maverick has suddenly vaulted to the top of the GM charts.
In terms of competency?
Yes!
Could be.
Kurt Angle is like the worst. Kurt Angle is literally the worst GM in
Daniel
history.
Daniel Bryan is not that great because he keeps bickering with
He's
Shane.
He's terrible, and Shane McMahon is awful too. Like, kayfabe, they're terrible at their jobs.
Regal is usually very good, but this whole Sanity Undisputed Era thing is
well,
too much
okay,
fun.
Look at the woman's title, Shayna Baszler.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just go around doing this. You won't get a title shot. Shayna Baszler, you get a title shot.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Drake Maverick number one right now.
Drake Maverick for sure, man. Oh, my gosh. Anyways.
Why is my phone ringing?
Whoa. You're worse than me on that phone these days. Anyways, next up we had my two favorite teams of all
Alex
time.
Alex C said, rewatch, no Dijak.
Interesting. Interesting.
What?
All right. Well, thank you, Alex C.
Oh, back. Yeah. Heavy Machinery.
You're back on my good list now, Alex C. Heavy Machinery. They're crap. And on top of that, now they're the impetus for one of my favorite teams allegedly breaking up or seemingly breaking up.
They're planting the seeds of breakup here.
Sabatelli and Moss, that's a terrible idea to break them up. That's a terrible idea. What are they going to do?
I know.
I hope this is some grand swerve them where they'll act like they're not happy with each other.
They're having issues and they'll take advantage of everything that's going on to win and show, joke's on you.
Yeah.
We're still friends.
Specifically towards Heavy Machinery, though.
Yeah, you really don't want nice things to happen to Heavy Machinery.
I don't. I want them to be event security. Here's the thing. I don't want anybody to lose their job. Don't want that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with them being event security.
All right.
I think they'll be good at that.
Okay.
They kind of look like security guards anyways. Like, Otis seems like the kind of guy who'd be hanging out a lot at, like, a comic book or, like, the arcades or whatever. Comic book shop.
As a security guard?
In his time off. And then he's a security guard at, like, a movie theaters. Like Big Jim used to do.
All right.
Same with the other guy. What's his name?
Tucker.
Yeah, that guy. Tucker. Wasn't that a show? Tucker Knight pins Tino Sabatelli after the compactor.
Yeah, Tino tried to get the win with putting his feet on the ropes, but the ref saw this time.
Drake Younger, he's too good. Too good a ref, that guy.
Yep.
He said, hey.
But, like, the whole beef between Tino and Riddick was because Tino tagged in Riddick Moss, just, like, slapped him on the back.
Yeah, in a slightly more aggressive manner. He was frustrated.
Yeah.
And he gave him a big slap on the back to tag in and be like, you take care of this. And Moss was like, why would you? And then he gave him a chop to tag him back in.
Yeah, but it all kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. There was no real build to it.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have done some backstage videos where Tino was upset that Riddick called his Maserati their Maserati.
Yeah. That, something yeah, like that. Something.
Said, so, you know, my name.
They never did go to
my
the.
My name's on the title of this car.
They never went to the Riddick Moss has a minivan thing.
No.
That really bums me out. That'd have been great storytelling.
Yeah. Like, anyways. Riddick Moss goes to CarMax and trades in his minivan and says, I don't need a car. We have our car now.
We have our car. And Tino's like, hold on a second.
Hold on, man.
Like, I know that you're my best friend and everything, but come on, this is still, it's under my name.
My car. I bought this.
Yeah, you can't take it anywhere because, like, you're not insured on it.
Riddick knocks on Tino's door and says, hey, can I wear our suit?
Yeah.
It's like, wait, our suit?
Our suit.
This is my suit. It's not even your size.
We're different sizes, dude.
Yeah, you're much larger than me.
You're bigger in the chest.
Yeah, broader in the shoulders. Yeah. It's not going to fit you.
Smaller in the butt, though. Tino's got a big butt.
He does.
You notice that? Yeah. Were you the one that brought that to my attention?
Yeah.
I noticed it big time. He's spilling out of those trunks, man.
Yes.
You think those are implants?
No. A lot of squats.
Yeah, really. Big old booty. Well, good for him.
Anyways. Yeah, so, it'd been pretty funny if they went that route.
Right?
But this kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, man. Johnny Gargano.
Promo.
Comes out and fiery Johnny Gargano. Very fired up. Calls out. He says, Thomas O. Ciampa, coming for you, man.
Yeah.
You. I'm going to.
Instead.
Man to man, I'm going to beat you up.
Instead, who comes out? Andrade, Cien Almas, and Zelina Vega.
Or as both Percy and Moro like to say, oh, look, that's why he calls himself El Idolo. Oh, there's El Idolo. El Idolo, come on.
I know, it's in a song.
It is. That song, no, there's live a lot of questions about that song. Who's singing it, for one thing? Because they're not really singing it. They're just sort of saying things randomly.
It's not him.
Yeah. La Sombra. Tranquilo.
Yeah.
El Idolo.
Yeah.
Quesadilla. That sounds good right now. It's just some dude saying a bunch of Spanish things.
Yeah.
Anyways. So they come out. Zelina Vega comes out. Cuts a nasty promo on Gargano.
Yeah. The crowd starts chanting for Candice LeRae.
Oh, immediately.
Oh, that was
like
great.
Immediately. It was fantastic. I'm bummed out they have not given her the CFO dollar sign guys have not given Candace music yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want her music to hit. Because she comes out and the camera didn't pick it up until she was like halfway to the ring.
I know. And the crowd popped.
I wanted to hear music.
Great. Yeah. Agreed.
Anyway, she gets in the ring and Johnny Gargano says, have at it.
They start brawling. Everybody starts brawling a little bit. Andrade and Zelina Vega go up the top of the ramp. Gargano says, essentially, I don't know, they're shot at that. Oh, no, Zelina Vega says, we're done with you.
Yeah.
What's it
gonna
take?
We beat you three times, which is a good point.
Fair point. What's it going to take for you to get out of here?
Yeah.
To get off her case?
Yeah.
And Gargano says, give me one more shot at the title. And then he put his career on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know when it's scheduled to air, but it's going to be Gargano's career up on the line, almost putting the NXT title on the line.
Yeah. Very dramatic.
Yeah.
Again, very effective storytelling.
Yes.
Ooh, wow. What's going to happen now? You've just dug a hole for yourself. Now, I know there are spoilers out there. We're not going to talk about the spoilers. But I do like the idea that if Gargano loses, I don't want him just to go straight over to like 205 Live or Main or whatever. I want to see him start attacking Thomas O. Ciampa.
Yeah.
Sort of NWO style, you know? Like,
yeah.
Or like masked attacker.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Start terrorizing.
Yes.
Then they can do some film stuff like at freaking Ciampa's house.
And they have an unsanctioned match.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Have to sign a hold harmless agreement.
Yes! Hold harmless. And Daniel Bryan will be like, what? What's that? A what? Can I get in on that? I'll hold you harmless. Next up, Shayna Baszler with an impromptu press conference with one working iPhone and one not working iPhone.
Yeah.
I love her. Are they doing all this Shayna Baszler stuff at the expense of Ember Moon? Because she's really making Ember Moon look bad. Ember Moon has to go over at this next one. Otherwise, she's going to, I hate saying this word, she's going to be buried. She lost. She couldn't win. She couldn't beat Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shayna Baszler was dominant in their match.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think Ember even have one title defense between.
Yeah. She defended it against Sonya Deville, I think, on episode of NXT.
Oh, that was... Okay, yeah, yeah. Because I know she had a fight against Peyton Royce, but I don't know if that was for the title.
I don't remember the title either, but she defended against Sonya Deville.
Okay. But otherwise, it's been, I mean, you know, it's been a fairly quiet run. And then all of a sudden, Shayna Baszler shows up. And I'm sorry, dude. I freaking love all of her, like her press conferences, her promos. I think she comes off as legit as can be. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. I freaking love her. I think she's great. But if they don't have Ember Moon go over in this next match of theirs.
Yeah, they're in danger of really undercutting.
Yeah, no kidding. Especially if
progress she has made.
Especially if she stays in NXT.
I know. No, if this is just a really quick program for her to get kind of like a brief title run, then to drop it on her way to Maine. All right.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. You Which know, seems nobody's going to remember that
seems
anyways.
Really plausible
yeah.
at this point. But yeah, if she's sticking around NXT for a while after this, if she does lose to Shayna, it's going to be kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, no kidding. But man, I want that title on Shayna soon because she's—I think she's fantastic. Next up, we had Tyler Bate needs to wake up a little bit, man.
Yeah, man, he always seems so sleepy.
He always seems so sleepy. Like I can barely make out what he's saying.
I remember his, and we've seen it thousands of times. It feels like his interviews he did for the United Kingdom
tournament.
Oh my
god, I know.
He seems so energetic.
Well, he seems,
much more energetic.
Yeah, I mean, he has energy.
Yeah,
he seems.
His ability to project personality was evident in those videos.
That's
whereas
the best
now
way of putting
he just
it,
seems
yeah.
like, you want me to say what? All right.
I know.
And he says it, and that's it.
All these great people here, you know, Roderick Strong, Hideo Itami, it's all great. And then we've got also over here in NXT, we've got people like, you know. And it's like, oh my god, dude.
Snappy.
Yeah. Come on, man. You're 20 years old. You'll be fine. You know, if you're currently experiencing some, you know, some, if you're in the doldrums because they're not using you.
Yeah, or you got some heat on you because you were actually trying to make a career for yourself instead of waiting around for them to do something with you.
Yeah. You know what, man, this is welcome to corporate America. I know everything seemed great a year ago.
Yeah.
But it's okay. These things happen.
Yep.
Takes time.
Yep.
Anyways, yeah, so. Yeah.
He essentially conclude by saying he's not done with the United Kingdom title yet.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, but he is.
Next, Bianca Belair squashed Jessix Hill.
This was a true squash match.
In a matter of, I don't know, less than a minute.
I still do not like that reverse powerbomb, but I love Bianca Belair.
Yes.
She is fantastic.
She is fantastic.
She's great.
That torture rack thing she did first was great.
Yeah, I know. That should be her finish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, the reverse powerbomb just
torture
general.
Rack into like an AA, or I'm sorry, an AA type
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, the reverse powerbomb never liked the move.
Yeah, I know. It looks like it's bad for everybody.
Yeah, it looks like it hurt you just as much as it hurt.
It's
the
not graceful.
Receiving it.
No. Yeah. But man, she is fantastic. I like her gimmick of being the est.
Yeah. She's the EST, the best.
She's the best, the fastest, the
strongest,
strongest.
Yeah, I know, that's great.
She's the bestest. Anyway, she's fantastic. Next up, we have the main event, Tornado Tag Match.
No rules.
No rules.
No tags.
You're just making things worse for yourself, Regal.
It was a fun match. They went all over the place, all around the ringside area,
oh
underneath
my God,
the
great.
Theater.
This was great. Killian Dane is just a beast.
Yeah, we saw his Michinoku driver Michinoku driver stone on top of somebody else.
They did the thing where like he was like, come on, to all three of Undisputed Era. And
he just threw them off.
Threw them all off, which is always so cartoonishly bad, but
I
it's
know.
So awesome.
I know.
I love that. Yeah, this is a lot of fun. And they booked What's-His-Face super strong, too. Alexander Wolf.
Yeah, he got to mosh a little bit, too.
Yeah, he got to mosh a little bit.
Which is not a true Sandy match unless Alexander Wolf gets a
chance.
Oh
no,
to watch.
Absolutely not. I was bummed out Nikki Cross didn't come out with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, he ate a last shot and kicked out of it.
I know.
That's a bit much.
I know.
I mean, Adam Cole sold the surprise of that moment pretty well. But I don't know. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, and then Damo hit his one winged angel. Do they call it something else?
Yeah. I don't remember what it is.
Yeah.
It's one winged angel as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, me too.
On Bobby Fish, picked up the win for Sanity. I don't know if this is going to conclude their feud. I guess, like as we explained earlier, in my mind, this prolongs it.
I mean, yeah,
Sanity,
you got to figure.
Still
owed
a tag title rematch.
Yeah.
So, maybe a takeover? I don't know.
Do we know? Let me ask you this. Do we know? So, don't like give us any spoilers.
All right.
Have Authors of Pain showed up at any of the tapings?
I don't remember.
Yet? Okay. Because I kind of feel like no, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember at all.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, let's answer some questions.
Question time.
Question time. Dun 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 dun. All right. Oh, here we go. Look at this one. The original mystery man, Carmine the Bowler, says he has not received a shout out on the podcast. Here's your shout out there, Carmine the Bowler. Thank you very much for your support.
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. Should NXT have longer title reigns? I feel like it gets predictable when people drop titles.
Okay, so that is one of the things about NXT that you just have to accept, mm-hmm. is that you kind of understand when things are coming to an end and when things are not coming to an end.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, I kind of
well, at least
that.
For champions, you can.
Yeah,
usually,
right. Oh,
someone,
yeah, yeah.
If someone's a champ, they lose the belt, they'll have a rematch to lose. See you later.
This is interesting. I had not heard this. Trapezoid Jr. says, it has been reported, and again, no sources, I don't know, that Shawn Michaels has taken Velveteen Dream under his wing.
Oh, really?
According to Trapezoid Jr., who knows?
That's interesting.
He says, but his question is, I would like you guys to power rank what five wrestling personalities would you like to become a protege of? Who would you want your protege, your mentor to be?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, Shawn Michaels, you can't go wrong there.
Mine is Triple H, man. Are you kidding me? That guy is just killing on all cylinders. He's had a legendary career.
Yeah, I'll say HBK, Triple H.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho.
Oh, can't get better than that.
How many? Five each?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever. Any good name, other good names? Jerry Lawler.
Learn how to book yourself strong in your own territory.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like a lot of info from that generation would be like, I literally can't use that info right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a different climate.
So I'm trying to think in my mind, it's like HBK will tell you everything you know about performing in the ring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Triple H will get you ready for everything backstage.
Yeah.
Not to take anything away from Triple H's in-ring work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 for sure.
Backstage,
yeah.
Learn the ropes in terms of politicking, in terms
sure.
of putting a show together, all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Lawler would tell you to, like, work even if you're concussed.
Yeah, probably,
that,
unfortunately.
That's that generation, yeah.
Who's the other person I said?
Jericho.
Oh, Jericho. Reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping your character fresh.
Yeah.
Just trying to think of people who would be able to instill knowledge to make me the most well-rounded performer possible.
Yeah, yeah, you hit all the beats there, man.
So the other person I thought was maybe Cena, because Cena, he's reached the top of the mountain.
Oh, God, that'd be a nightmare.
But then facing the backlash that's associated with it, how to best deal with that.
Oh, that'd be a nightmare.
I'll be very structured.
Yeah.
Be like going through boot camp.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to do that. All right. Be here at 4 a.m. Why?
It's time for first of three workouts of the day.
Exactly.
You can bring coffee, yeah. Protein bar, a towel,
a
gallon of water.
I can't just have one of your towels? No.
No. These are my towels. It costs $3,000 each.
Yeah. Is that why you sold that? I had to sell my car.
Dylan the Villain Scribner. He's been waiting to ask this question for a while, but what if you guys could fantasy book an all-time great 8-16 man Jeez. Cruiserweight tournament, who would you put in it and who would go over two sweet friendos?
Well, to me, the man who would go over in the end would be the Iceman, Dean Malenko,
right.
Who is the Dean Malenko of cruiserweights.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, let's see if you name a good 16-man field.
Okay.
Jushin Thunder Liger.
Oh, wow.
He'd
yeah.
have to be in it.
Good.
Prince
Devitt.
All right,
is
Prince
this
Devitt.
All time?
Yeah, all time.
All time.
All time.
Okay, Prince Devitt.
Prince Devitt. Steve yeah. says Prince Devitt. Perfect.
It worked. It worked perfectly.
Yeah, it is.
Good job.
Osprey. Osprey. Yeah. Rey Mysterio.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Eddie,
yes.
Eddie's in there. Did you put Jericho in there?
Yeah.
Okay, Jericho.
WCW Jericho for sure.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I put both Paul London and Brian Kendrick in there.
Okay. Tajiri.
Oh, man.
Trying to think of some... I don't know if he's considered a cruiserweight, but I think so. Pentagon Jr.
Okay, yeah, sure.
That's 10.
10, okay.
Six more.
We need six more. Kota Ibushi.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see here.
That's
who
11.
Else? Oh, Psychosis. Juventud Guerrera. I'm just going at WCW
yeah, no.
right now. I know. We need three more.
Yeah, yeah.
We need three more.
I'm trying to think of some more junior heavyweights.
Was La Parca a junior? Was he a cruiserweight?
I don't know. He was always kind of hefty for.
He seemed like somebody needs to check him on the scales.
about Tiger Mask?
Sure. Why not? Oh, that's a good one. And then the Young Bucks.
All right.
There you go.
17-man field.
17.
We'll have a... Oh, 16. Sorry. I thought there was an extra finger. Oh, Pentagon is billed at 207. Well, if we go traditional junior heavyweight, I think it's 225.
Okay, yeah.
Or traditional cruiserweight.
Very good. All right. Let's see here. And then, yeah, Dean Malenko, the cruiserweight. The cruiserweight of Dean Malenko's goes over.
Super Nerdy Sama. One thing that came to mind while watching SmackDown is the awkward pacing of this Daniel Bryan Shane McMahon story. Imagine the writers of this material pay attention to how it's all received by the fans. What do you think their morale is in current day WWE? Do you think it is a good place or not? And what could be some factors affecting it, maybe as fans could assist in alleviating?
I don't know, man. I watch a lot of the, like, you know, when you look at the Mixed Match Challenge videos, when you see them all on social media goofing around, I suspect that it's probably decent. I think it's probably wrestler to wrestler. Like,
no, I think he's not talking about the morale of the wrestler.
Well, I'm sorry, what he's talking about?
Creative.
Oh, the morale of creative?
That's, I mean, we always heard that the average...
I can't imagine it's ever good.
...tenure is pretty short.
Yeah.
A matter of months.
Oh, man. It's probably always bad.
I think dealing with the fans is probably the least of it.
Yeah.
Dealing with Vince changing his whims.
Oh, my gosh.
Changing his mind on a regular basis. That'd be more maddening than anything else. He can kind of block out to a certain extent. Just don't go on social media and you won't know how people are reacting to it.
Right, yeah.
But if Vince is calling you up at 4 in the morning to rewrite a show.
Oh, my God. Nightmare.
On a weekly basis.
I mean, morale might be higher now because they're like, oh, Vince is like stepping back a little bit. Maybe he's working on XFL a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
Deontay Soignier, hey friendos, due to NXT constant wave of unbelievable talent such as Undisputed Era, Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream, Johnny Gargano, and several others, would WWE keep them in NXT to form long-term rivalries that fans can be captivated by rather than sending up to Raw or SmackDown, where the creative is always less than to be desired?
I don't know if they're at the point where they're... I mean, Triple H is still, to this day, he still talks about, you know...
NXT isn't what he wants it to be.
But he also talks about, you know, call-ups and is this guy ready? Is this guy not ready? Is he... I think there's still that perception. I think until that really, really changes, that no. Like, either if you're in NXT for more than 2 years, you're either going to get released or you're going to get called up at some point, you know?
Yeah.
I still think it's that thing. So, and I don't know. I think even you and I sit here sometimes and we think, well, there's nothing left for the Authors of Pain to do. It's like, technically, that's not true. You know, they can just... put them in there with another tag team that they bring up.
Come up with a storyline,
yeah. And they still can.
Yeah.
But we've just gotten used to the thing. Well, you've had your run with the titles. You're ready for prime time.
Yeah.
Just go up to the main roster.
The mic in your hands more often to get you ready in that respect.
So and I kind of...
you can handle your own mic work.
And I really appreciate that aspect of NXT because we always get fresh stuff happening and fresh people.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of... that's what kind of keeps it exciting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's... I've compared it before, NXT to minor league baseball.
Uh-huh.
Or if you're a fan of minor league baseball, you're a fan of the team because there's so much turnover in the players.
Yeah.
So like you could be fan of players and follow their career as they go up to the major leagues,
mm-hmm.
but you have to become a fan of that brand.
Yeah,
that
team. Yeah.
As a team, not because of the players, because you like that team or you like that brand.
Right.
And you like what they do with the talent there.
Yeah. Karen has a question here. Was the Riot Squad the proper group of women to call up from NXT prior to the Rumble? Or should other women have gone up instead? She says, personally, she would have preferred Peyton and Billie Kay and Nikki Cross because their look is a lot different from what Absolution is and Riot Squad presents. Which, yeah, I mean, I liked Absolution with Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose sort of at the side of Paige.
Mm-hmm.
Riot Squad was just thrown together.
Yeah.
And it's kind of infuriating.
There's no unifying factor between any of them other than the fact that they're all in NXT.
I think especially in the case of Sarah Logan, she kind of got the short shrift a bit because I've never really seen her as like a henchman for anybody, mm-hmm. you know? Like mm-hmm. I just didn't, I don't know. She seems so unique. Liv Morgan is whatever. I mean, she's not a terribly good wrestler and her gimmick is kind of comparable to that of Carmella's. Mm-hmm. So why is she around? And then I'm a huge fan of Ruby Riott.
But it seems weird that as a solo competitor in NXT the whole time, they put her up with the stable.
Yeah, I know. It the entire thing just came off as very awkward.
Yeah, and forced.
Yeah, so...
poorly motivated.
But no, I think, I mean, instead of bringing up a whole, like, a faction just to seemingly mirror Absolution, which it does seem to be the case.
Kind of. But, I mean, like, we were hoping there'd be a purpose behind that. but there really wasn't.
Right,
there was
exactly.
a purpose behind it. That had been interesting.
Right, before. yeah, for sure.
And since there wasn't, then there's really no point to bring up three. Just bring up the iconic duo.
I know. Nikki Cross, I'd actually take issue with because I want her to stay with Sanity.
Yeah.
I really want that to happen.
Agreed. Although she seems like she's involved with them less and less these days.
I know, and it makes me sad.
I know, which is concerning.
Makes me sad.
They make such a great faction, all of them.
Let's see here. What the wrestling co-host, Nathan Ragland. Oh, yeah, Nathan Ragland, I think, is starting up his own podcast called What the Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He says, there's a rumor floating around that they're canceling Lars Sullivan's push. Triple H comes to you to ensure you this doesn't happen. How do you book Lars all the way up to his main roster debut?
Well, there was news going around. I'm not going to spoil because they haven't really done it yet, that he wasn't going to be in line for an NXT title shot at the next TakeOver, but because of a knee injury or something, he's not going to get it.
Yeah, it's a knee injury thing.
I didn't hear anything about them souring on him or anything like that.
According to the newsletter, which this week seems to be all over the map in terms of how we, the validity of things.
Yes.
It was simply like he had a knee issue that they had to get fixed, and then he'll be at the Performance Center rehabbing soon.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know. I mean, if it depends, like anybody else, if he has a string of injuries back to back, it's really going to hurt things. But I think creatively, they seem to be high on
him. I was kind of surprised at the idea of him getting a title shot so soon. Anyways,
me too. But I mean, we'd have to stray into spoilers to really talk about
that. Yeah, no, I mean, like he had called out Killian Dane, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that was never resolved.
No, it
Which
wasn't.
I suppose they could have between now and the next TakeOver, but nonetheless, it seems like that's a TakeOver worthy match.
Well, yeah. I mean, that would have been if. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it because
I don't want to spoil either, but. Double T. Hey, friendo. So my question is actually about your recap yesterday. Why do you guys seem to have such disdain for Randy Orton, seemingly on and off camera, when almost every wrestler besides Mr. Kennedy says he's one of the most professional guys in the business and says he's a great guy backstage? We don't have disdain for him. We just think he's a little boring.
Yeah, I don't know. I see why he'd probably think that. I don't know. I think I'd probably rag on him a bit.
maybe. Yeah.
Now that I think about
it. But I mean, we just find boring, or this boring face Randy Orton is just not a character I don't think we necessarily want up in the upper card contending for titles, because it doesn't really seem to bring out the best in him.
So
it doesn't really bring out the best in whoever he's feuding against.
It's multiple things. I'll set the record straight for me on Randy Orton. I have always appreciated that. I've heard several times that he is one of the safest workers in the ring. I've always really appreciated that about him. I appreciate his legacy.
Yeah.
When he was a nasty, nasty heel going around punting old people in the head, like legends, I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated him, but I hated him for all the right reasons. I do find his character boring because they don't really do anything with him that's interesting.
He finds his character boring too.
And he's even said the same thing.
Oh. Breaking news.
A couple of terrorists have been captured in Syria, so that's good. My thing also with him is that I think he made a big turnaround in like his older age in terms of being like a professional and stuff. He's probably a great guy. He's probably an awesome guy. Whenever I see him on Twitter, he seems like a great guy. From what I remember, there was a time, and I think he's even said this in a documentary, where he was a prick backstage. Didn't he like drop a crap in somebody's duffel bag or something? And then he had like a problem, like, I don't know, saying some really mean things to some of the divas backstage.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I mean, I think he even copped that in the back. And so that's kind of more the lasting impression I have with him, even though, like, I don't know, I like Orton. I think he seems like a decent fellow these days.
Yeah.
His social media cracks me up, you know. Like, you see pictures of him and his wife goofing around on Instagram. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I like Orton. I just think that... I like new, man. I like new faces. And he's been around so long. It's just, I don't find it interesting.
Yeah.
Like every time, like last year ago this time, they were going down an interesting road with him and Orton and Wyatt, and we were both into it.
Yeah, so long as the result wasn't.
We were like, here's five ways that they could go with this that's really, really cool, and then here's the way that they probably will go, and that's what they did.
And that was the worst possible option.
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
So there's my story on how I feel about Randy Orton.
Yeah. No, I can't disagree with any of that.
Yeah.
The Nightcrawler. Hey, guys. So not everyone is a five-star match machine. Honestly, there's probably only three in wrestling today. But my question is, Power ranks some 3.5 to 4.5 match machines in the WWE. I don't know where they place, but the two that come to mind for him are Kevin Owens and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens, yes. Sami Zayn.
Yep.
Seth Rollins.
Yes. From Samoa Joe.
Yeah. Aleister Black.
Oh, yeah.
Going to NXT.
Yeah.
He's put on some really fun matches.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Adam Cole could probably put on 3.5 star match at any time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Roderick Strong, 4.5 star match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much anybody in the WWE. I mean, it's the WWE. Like, yeah, the talent's so good. Anybody can put on a 3.5.
The in-ring product has never been better.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, Patrick Beals is being a security guard that breaks up a brawl, basically WWE's version of the Young Lions.
More or less.
Yes, and it's awesome.
The Shogun Zodiac. I'm surprised Steve isn't a huge Heavy Machinery fan. They are Prime Haas, and Dozovic is hilarious.
Dozovic
is pretty funny.
I don't mind
Otis at all.
Here's the Haas that I like. I like an old bastard, like early 1980s Texas Haas, who wears jeans, has a big old gut hanging out. And when you see him, you're like, this guy, I think he really thinks is real.
Mm-hmm.
And then he puts on fights that like feel real. If you go back and look at like WCCW in the early 80s, look at guys like Michael Hayes, who granted he wasn't like a surly guy. He was a very fun loving guy. But like those types that just make you feel like, oh, this dude thinks is real.
Yeah.
And he makes it look real. These look like real fights.
All right.
Heavy Machinery too, goofball. I'm not a fan of goofball. That's what I don't like. I don't want goofball, man.
All right.
I don't like it.
El Pupit Cabra. Hey, friendos, what do you guys think of a King of the Hill type tournament for 205 Live every week after Mania, where two will fight and the winner will have a match the next week and so on until someone can beat them? Sort of a weekly open challenge with a streak on the line where everyone is trying to get the highest win streak. Doing this could open up ways for returns, debuts, get the crowd involved, and add stakes to the matches. Not a terrible idea. Just be interesting if at some point down the line, if you win X number of matches in a row, you get a title shot or something like that.
Yeah. You know? No, I like rankings. Rankings sounds great.
Yeah, anything like that's generally pretty good.
Wait, what did you just say?
I said anything like that's generally pretty good.
Okay.
What did you think I said?
I thought you said, yeah, anchovies are pretty good.
I don't know if I've ever had an anchovy before. Have you?
Yeah, I don't like them. This is a good question. Robert Haynes, how should Killian Dane be pushed on the main roster? At some point, they have to do a break from Sanity. He's kind of their brawn.
Yeah.
He's kind of their brawn.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Because you already have Braun.
I know.
Braun is such a unique
I kind of feel like when they bring Sanity up, they're going to do something. It's kind of have to be a New Day approach where they put them in the tag division for a little bit and they can freebird the titles. And then build off stories from there with them. Bring them up as a unit, have them compete as a unit at first, and then have Killian Dane break away or have them break up or something. You know?
Yeah.
Because both him and Eric Young, I think, could be successful singles competitors.
I wonder about Eric Young these days. He's a bit old. No, I mean, I think he could be. I'd rather see them as like just a really strong tag team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he totally could be.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's been that before.
But, I mean, Alexander Wolf, he's great, but I don't know
Yeah, exactly, which is why I'm like, cool, like... You know, you want all your divisions to be as strong as possible.
Yes.
You know, and that's why I don't really want the New Day to break up. I think it'd be a lot more fun for them to freebird the singles titles,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want them to break up because then you just have like three singles guys floating around there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Tommy, the best value cat. Which route for Ricochet will be better? One-year term, bring him up at the Rumble with his road to WrestleMania, be his dream match versus AJ, or B, long-term him in NXT, defeating Aleister Black for the title and having an Asuka-type run. Thank you, friendos. Fly, Eagles, fly.
I don't want another undefeated thing anytime soon with anybody.
Yep.
I don't want that. Ricochet can eat losses.
I
kind
of like
how
a lot of people, they bring him in and just have him lose right away. Adam Cole's lost a lot.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I know. Finn Balor him. He said he wanted the Finn Balor route. Whatever the Finn Balor route was.
Yeah, I think Finn.
How long was he there for?
A couple years. He was champ for 297 days or something like that.
Yeah.
So he was there for a couple years. So yeah, have him there for a couple years. Make him the face of the brand while he's there and then bring him up and then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine an AJ Ricochet match. That'd be Great.
I'm choosing right now between
7 stars,
a big wheel, and then whatever the hell this thing is that Lacey's showing me. But yeah, the big wheel. Can't go wrong with the big wheel.
Nope.
Anyways, let's see here. Philly Flexer says, I'm sorry, but am I the only one who doesn't understand what est means for Bianca Belair? Help me out.
She's the bestest, the fastest, the strongest.
And then Tim Morris gets it wrong. He says it means established. No, man. They say it. They literally say it every single time. Yeah. Just listen to the commentary.
I know.
It means she's a strong est, fast est.
Best est.
Best est.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool est.
Randy Orton's voices, which is more likely, 205 Live gets canceled or NXT moved to 2 hours?
What's more likely?
Yeah, well, NXT getting a second hour. I think now that 205 Live is kind of hitting the reset button, they're going to get a new chance.
Yeah, but what if their reset button lands them in the top 20 again? Because like this past week, they're at number 11.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I kind of think that
the approach they're taking is going to take time to build an audience, though, especially if they're going to keep presenting it in the same fashion.
I want it now!
He's distracted with this football business for the next couple of years. He's not paid attention to 205 Live.
I hope you're right about that. I don't know. I still kind of feel like the more likely scenario is 205 Live getting canceled than NXT moving in 2 hours. But I would love to say the other one.
Here, we'll end of this question. This is a good one.
Okay.
Mike Demopoulos, who is the current NXT Elias, a sleeper star for the main roster?
Ooh.
Bailey handled completely wrong on main, and Finn completely over but underutilized.
Completely over underutilized on NXT?
No, on main roster. Who, like in NXT now, could maybe fill similar roles?
Oh, I have a feeling we're both going to be, and me especially, are going to be extremely frustrated with how they treat Aleister Black on main roster. I swear, if they better not put him on SmackDown.
Oh, I know.
I'll be pissed. I'll literally be upset, angry.
Yeah.
If they put him on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so frustrating.
But I think Aleister Black could follow Finn's career.
Do you even think Tommy Ed knows how to smile?
I'm sure.
It'd probably look really painful. Like, we think Bobby Roode's smile looks painful. I mean, Aleister Black's probably looks horrible.
Depends if it's genuine.
I've seen him like grim. I'm sorry, grim. I've seen him grin on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just this. He raises his eyebrows a little bit.
Who in NXT now could be Elias? Someone who is more, whose gimmick is probably more suited for main versus NXT. Like Triple H said in that interview.
Yeah. All right, name some people.
Heavy Machinery.
No. I guarantee you. Like, I think those guys are great for Donovan Dijak.
This guy's going to be security at event staff until he gets called up.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's great at security.
But Aleister Black, I think, is a good answer for the Finn-type role, who would be completely over, but probably not used to his fullest. At least not at first.
Hold on, I'm looking for the NXT roster.
Just Google search NXT roster then.
I just did that. NXT brand. Here we go. Roster. Jump to roster. No, go back. Jump to roster. Oh, here we go. You're already there. You busted. Oh, here we go. Let's see here.
Oney Lorcan.
I feel like, I mean, at this point, Leo Rush. They just need to get him, like, ready for the main. Like, I mean, that dude is so good. I don't even see what being an NXT is going to do for him.
I know.
You know what I mean?
In terms of someone who could be very easily mishandled in the main roster, it's got to be Velveteen Dream.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's been handled very well in NXT.
Near perfectly on NXT.
And like if he were to end up on SmackDown.
I wonder what they think about No Way Jose.
I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know
what their thoughts on him are.
But yeah, I could see, I mean, Leo Rush, man. I don't know if like whatever, if he does have attitude issues or whatever, because we've kind of heard that, if that just needs to be put in the check first. But I don't know. I think Put him on 205 Live tomorrow.
Who?
Leo Rush.
Oh, yeah.
And my God, I mean, that'll be must-see TV right there. I've said that for a while now. Oh, nice. Depeche Mode is coming to the Golden One Center.
Ooh, exciting.
Anyways, that's good. Let's get some music. Hilt's not here. He's at the All-Star game already.
Yeah, man.
What the hell?
That's great for him.
Isn't it amazing? This is the stars that we create here on Going In Raw.
I'm not taking any credit for that. It's all Hilton's hard work.
Our intern?
Congratulations, Hilton.
All our mentoring. That is awesome.
He achieved something outstanding, and you're trying to take credit for it. How dare you?
He's an Emmy winner, too.
I know.
Take credit for that shit, too.
Had nothing to do with that.
I am so proud of him, though.
Yeah, we're super proud of him.
That is amazing stuff. Anyways, I got to do the music on my own. I even know it's going to work. See if it's going to work. Something's going on right now. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.